Today we seek to honor the Lord and love the Lord and read God's word and pray to God and admit our weakness and ask God's Spirit to fill us to do what we ultimately cannot, that He might be honored through our lives again each day that we have. The power of integrity to finishing strong. Church, loved ones, you will not finish strong without a resolve towards integrity.
Hey, listeners, I hope you are ready to go today. It is our last message in our series in the life of Samuel, Conviction Amidst Compromise. I'm your host, Shannon Stark, and I am here in studio with Pastor Robbie. Hey, Robbie, we've had quite a ride here through 1 Samuel. Highs, lows, important lessons.
Yeah, exactly. It's been hopefully so fruitful in the lives of our listeners. And on that note, hey, let us know what God is doing in your life. Email, phone, again, contacting us through our website. We just, our team here, and a lot of the teams here right now, we'd love to hear about how the Lord is at work in your life. Keeps us going. It's why we're here on the station right now, to see God's word be impacting your life through the power of the Holy Spirit, to see us grow more and more like Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, may you do that. May you do that. And again, we'd love to hear from you. And then today, as you mentioned, I mean, we are looking at the life of Samuel, and the theme right now is finishing strong. Man, that is a topic that is so neat. I love it so much because it's one of my greatest goals, to get to the end and to hear Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant. In a day, so many people, leaders, men and women, falling, failing, giving up, again, capitulating, whatever it might be. The quality of perseverance and to finish, but finish strong, is at an all-time high. Samuel shows us how today, and I love that. So, man, I pray God's word speaks to you personally and powerfully today where you are. And we're going to be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 12 and excited again to hear and to see the fruit of God's Spirit in your life. May it be so.
All right, everybody says it's not about how you start, it's about how you finish. So today in 1 Samuel 12, we have a message called Four Essentials to Finishing Strong. It's another list for you and a summary of the life of Samuel. So let's open our Bibles again together to 1 Samuel chapter 12.
Let's get our Bibles open to 1 Samuel chapter 12, please. 1 Samuel chapter 12, please do find a copy of God's word. Take the initiative to do that. We have no message apart from God's word. As you do that, I want to start with a story today. This is taken from Steve Farrar's book, Finishing Strong. He says this: you've heard of Billy Graham, but what about Chuck Templeton or Bron Clifford? Have you ever heard of them? Billy Graham wasn't the only young preacher packing auditoriums in 1945. Chuck Templeton and Bron Clifford were accomplishing the same thing and more. All three young men were in their mid-20s. One seminary president, after hearing Chuck Templeton preach one evening to an audience of thousands, called him, quote, the most gifted and talented young man in America today for preaching. Templeton and Graham were friends, both minister for Youth for Christ, both were extraordinary preachers. Yet in those early years, most observers probably would have put their money on Templeton to become the more famous of the two. As a matter of fact, in 1946, the National Association of Evangelicals published an article on men who were, quote, best used of God in that organization's five-year existence. The article highlighted the ministry of Chuck Templeton. Billy Graham was not even mentioned. Bron Clifford was yet another 20-something fireball. In 1945, many people believed that Clifford was the most gifted and powerful preacher the church had seen in centuries. In that same year, Clifford preached in an auditorium of thousands in Miami, Florida. People lined up 10 and 12 deep outside the auditorium trying to get in. Graham, Templeton, and Clifford. In 1945, all three came shooting out of the starting blocks like rockets. You've heard of Billy Graham, so how come you've likely never heard of Chuck Templeton or Bron Clifford, especially when they came out of the chute so strong in 45? Just 5 years later, Templeton left the ministry to pursue a career as a radio and television commentator and newspaper columnist. Templeton had decided he was no longer a believer in Christ in the Orthodox sense of that term. By 1950, this one-time preaching superstar no longer believed in the validity of the claims of Jesus Christ. What about Clifford? By 1954, Clifford had lost his family, his ministry, his health, and then his life. Alcohol and financial irresponsibility had done him in. He wound up leaving his wife and their two Down syndrome children. At just 35 years of age, this once great preacher died of cirrhosis of the liver in a rundown motel on the edge of Amarillo. His last job was selling used cars in the panhandle of Texas. He died, quote, unwept, unhonored, and unsung. Some pastors in Amarillo took up a collection among themselves in order to purchase a casket so that his body could be shipped back east for a decent burial in a cemetery for the poor. In 1945, three men with extraordinary gifts were preaching the gospel to hundreds of thousands of people across the nation. With only 10 years, only one of them was still on track for Christ. In the Christian life, it's not how you start that matters, it's how you finish. And this is so, so very true. It does not matter how someone starts if that person is not able to finish strong. In many ways, this is what our text tells us today of Samuel's life from 1 Samuel chapter 2. I think this text today that we discover in 1 Samuel 12 brings more credibility to Samuel's life than maybe all the others. And that is saying a lot. And why would we say that today? Because this guy went so hard right till the end. Now, Samuel, he had ups, he had downs. We've seen that. He had joys, he had sorrows. He had victories. He watched again defeats. He experienced again great delight. He also went through much pain like everyone else who's ever lived. And yet, he finished strong again till the end. He made it. I think our day, how many headlines are given to those who fail? So many headlines are given to the leaders, especially the spiritual leaders who don't make it, who fail. Why? Because it's gossip. People love to talk about such gossip. It's like juicy material. And yet what we fail to realize sometimes is how many faithful men and women make it till the end. But those stories aren't as exciting, are they? Unless you look through the lens of finishing strong. I've had to discipline myself over recent years to see the headlines of failure, but then to remind myself of how many dozens and hundreds of faithful men and women have made it to the end, faithfully serving the Lord Jesus Christ, often unsung, yet there they are anyways. It is such an encouragement to my soul. The Bible gives us another example today from one of the great leaders again in biblical history. We will see today again from our text, the life of Samuel finishing strong, and we're gonna classify this, organize this in this way, our sermon title today, Four Essentials to Finishing Strong. Four Essentials to Finishing Strong. Again, this series is lessons from the life of Samuel. So that's what we've done. That's what we're gonna continue to do. What can we learn from Samuel's life? Here's some context. As we come to chapter 12 today, okay? Israel wanted a king. Israel had gotten a king. They received King Saul. Again, they got what they wanted. Chapter 12 is also of great significance because this is Samuel's farewell address to the nation of Israel, again, as their judge and primary leader. So chapter 12 is significant and marks the end of an old order and marks the beginning of a new order, again, meaning the monarchy, Saul as king. Samuel's leadership has come to an end. He will now, going forward, only serve as a prophet again to the nation of Israel, to the kings who desire again his wisdom. Chapter 12 is additionally important because the people realize that they got in what they wanted. They received their monarchy, but now they realize it was done in their way and their timing, and they realize it was sinful, and they will pay a price for that. So Samuel stands before them all these years. From a small child, now he is again nearing death. He stands before them. He's finishing strong, and we get to understand why. How and why did Samuel finish strong? I mean, this is the goal of our lives, to hear the words of Jesus Christ Well done, good and faithful servant. How did Samuel do it? How can we learn in the days that we are living where so many are capitulating and compromising to the world around us? Very important message, very important lesson for us today. Here's essential number one, lesson number one, point number one. If I desire to finish strong, learning from the life of Samuel, it's this: I must have a walk of integrity. I must have a walk of integrity. Look at chapter 12 now, verses 1-5. Check it out. And Samuel said to all Israel, "Behold, I have obeyed your voice in all that you said to me and have made a king over you. And now behold, the king walks before you. I am old and gray, and behold, my sons are with you. I have walked before you from my youth until this day." What an amazing statement. "Here I am, testify against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Whose donkey have I taken? Whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or from whose hand have I taken a bribe to blind my eyes with it? Testify against me, people, and I will restore it to you." But they said to him, "You have not defrauded us or oppressed us or taken anything from any man's hand." And he said to them, "The Lord has witnessed against you, and his anointed is witness this day that you have not found anything in my hand." And they said, "He is witness." So this is super encouraging to read, and there's much to learn from right here from the testimony of Samuel's life. Notice Samuel, he's standing before the nation of Israel and he challenges the people to find any accusation against him. He stands before them. He's like, "Hey, listen, go ahead. Examine my life, go through all my files, read my emails, scroll through my Twitter history." I'm not sure if Samuel will be on Twitter or not. That's probably a strong debate. Not really sure. "Talk to my coworkers. Talk to my family members. See if you can find in all your investigation any reason to accuse me." What an incredibly powerful thing to be able to do, standing before a nation of God's people of an entire lifetime for that much. Notice what we're learning right here. Notice what we're seeing in God's word. This is the power of integrity at work. Samuel's living in such a way, he has nothing to hide. And he's willing for anyone to bring whatever charge or any scrutiny they might have against him. Integrity is a very powerful way to live, because you live and you have nothing to hide. You know the situations when you come up against a very grumpy customs agent at the border? And you go through and he or she, I've had a few of these in the past several, you know, months or whatever, and they just, they're just criticizing or they are, you know, asking questions. And listen, if you have something to hide, you get very nervous at that point because you're not living with integrity. But if you have nothing to hide and you're just like, whatever, just ask all the questions you want. "Go ahead, ma'am, go ahead, sir. I have nothing to hide." You can ask, and that's a wonderful feeling, isn't it? It's a wonderful feeling to have a clear conscience. It's an incredible freedom to live in such a way where you're not looking over your shoulder and you're not worried about who might ask and who might investigate, because again, your conscience is clear. Integrity is running your life. Do you have that today? This is Samuel. It's so interesting. Notice he uses the word taken four times in verses 3 and 4. The word taken. Samuel is blameless here. He says that because he has taken nothing. This, of course, is in contrast. As you remember last week from chapter 8, he says, here's what this king that you choose, your king of your choosing, he will take. That's what's going to happen when it's done your way and on your terms. The king of your choosing will take. Samuel says, "I have taken nothing from you. My life open to examination, inspection, the conscience is clear." Again, I love in verse 2, and look at verse 2 where he says, "I have walked before you from my youth until this day." Think about that. Think of Samuel's consistency and faithfulness and integrity over decades. This was the key to his longevity. This was the key to Samuel's, again, credibility. Church, loved ones, it's hard to overstate how essential this is. There are some in the crowd, as Samuel speaks to, they have watched Samuel his entire life. Like decades, they have observed him as the key primary leader. And they have watched a consistency, a faithfulness, and an integrity, not from a perfect man, but a consistent man seeking to honor and follow his God. That is amazing. I always remember many years ago, integrity being defined as living one life. Integrity is living one life. No matter where you are, no matter who you're with, think of the fallen leaders in recent weeks. Breaks my heart to say that. Months, years, decades. Think of the fallen leaders. And with every single situation, when you trace it back, it began with a failure of integrity. That was the beginning of their demise. See, we often, most of us, will get a headline show up in our inbox one day on our social media feed, whatever it is. We'll get a headline. And we think, wow, that happened all of a sudden. It did not happen all of a sudden. It started months or years ago where small cracks began to form in the foundation for decisions that lacked integrity and began to let sin creep in and slowly but surely erode again the foundation of that leader's character and that leader's credibility. And if you don't check it, if you don't repent of it, there's so many opportunities to do that, and you let it slide, then eventually the whole thing is going to crumble and God will make sure it does. So let's be aware of that. These situations don't happen in a day. They happen over a long period of time, going subtly, but steadily in the wrong direction of a failure of integrity. But now the positive, integrity is so powerful, one day at a time. Again, we've said this in the past. And again, we need to say this again. I'll say this today. I can't guarantee, again, perfect faithfulness to my wife for the rest of my life. But I can tell you today I am faithful to her. Today I love her. Today I'll do whatever I can to be that. That's where I am today. One day at a time. To seek to serve the Lord and honor the Lord. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, but for now and today, this is my responsibility. This is my integrity. This is where we are. And so it is for you. Today we seek to honor the Lord and love the Lord and read God's word and pray to God and admit our weakness and ask God's Spirit to fill us to do what we ultimately cannot, that he might be honored through our lives again each day that we have. The power of integrity to finishing strong. Church, loved ones, you will not finish strong without a resolve towards integrity. You won't. So therefore, we must. Question right now. Is there anything lacking integrity in your life right now? Anyone you're hiding from? Anything that you don't want your spouse to know? Anything you're hiding from your parents? Is there any aspect of your life that's duplicitous and you're double-minded? Is there anything right now you're sneaking around that if someone found out, you'd be horrified? Is there any part of your life covered in darkness? Be very, very careful and be clearly, clearly warned. Be sure your sin will find you out. It's just a matter of time. Make it right today. Of course, there are situations like that in this room right now. Of course, there are. There always is. Make it right today. Repent. Seek the Lord. Let the light shine in the darkness. Choose integrity that you might see the fruitfulness of God again upon your life, upon your leadership, upon your ministry, upon your family, upon your career, whatever it might be, just upon your walk with the Lord. If we're gonna finish strong, we have to have a walk of integrity. Essential number two, if I'm gonna finish strong, I will hold to an unswerving message, an unswerving message. I love this point. In verses 6 to 13, I'll summarize for us, Samuel is reminding the people of their unfaithfulness to the Lord over the generations. But more importantly, he again comes back to the faithfulness of God towards them throughout, again, the generations. Samuel recalls the judges sent by God in their sinfulness to rescue the people to return to him. This comes to verses 12 and 13, which really become the hinge of the chapter. Look at verse 12. Samuel says to them, "And when you saw that Nahash, the king of the Ammonites, came against you, you said to me, 'No, but a king shall reign over us.'" Notice, "when the Lord your God was your king. And now behold, the king whom you have chosen, for whom you have asked, behold, the Lord has set a king over you." So it's almost like Samuel is saying here, it's almost like Samuel's saying, listen, you wanted a king, here's your king, you've asked for it, you got it. But then in verse 14, there's a change. In verse 14, again, we hear the grace of God through the voice of Samuel. And what Samuel does here is he provides the path of success to the people of God. Again, look at verse 14 now. He says, "But if you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, and if both you and the king who reigns over you," listen, "will follow the Lord your God, it will be well. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you and also against your king." So Samuel, once again, this has happened so much again through the Old Testament. Samuel once again instructs the people, here's the path to be blessed, and here's also the path to be cursed. The choice is yours. But here's the principle of finishing strong that I want us to see. And again, I love this so much. Notice this within the life of Samuel. Samuel's message never changed his entire life. Think about that. Samuel's message never changed his entire life in one way or another, from a very small boy to now being gray and old, as the text says. He is standing before the people. His message remains, serve the Lord, fear the Lord, love the Lord. I just love and admire so much. Samuel, listen. Samuel never tired of God's truth. Samuel never tired of God's love presented in his truth. Right till the very end, Samuel never tired of loving God and obedience to the Lord. And isn't that truth right there shining a light on one of the great crises of our day? So many so tempted to change the message. So many people, so many families, so many ministries, so many pastors, so many denominations, so many forms of leaders are tempted to change the message, to water down the message, to tweaking or trivializing or brutalizing the gospel that they might be accepted by those around them. But as you change the gospel and you tweak the message, you shut out the power of God and, of course, the favor of God and the light of God upon your life and any kind of thing you're trying to do. I think back to seminary. I think back to when I was in seminary, and I've heard the stats and all stuff too, and I think of people that I was with in seminary that would stand beside me at that time with the message in some form that we are proclaiming today, rock solid in the gospel. Some of those individuals that I knew personally well, if you saw them today, the only word that I can describe for them, they have left, absolutely left the orthodoxy of the faith. And in some cases, no other word but apostate. The message changed. They changed. And they are not inside the integrity of the gospel and the word of God. And everything has changed again then from their ministries. It's heartbreaking. If we're going to finish strong, our message of God's word and the gospel must be unswerving. Here's what the Apostle Paul said about this in Galatians chapter 1. He says, "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one that we preach to you," look at how clear scripture is, "let him be accursed. If anyone comes up with a different gospel, let him be accursed." Anything contrary to what's in the word of God, anything different, any new way, any new kind of tweak, any new angle, "we've got it figured out," people say now. "Let them be accursed." Verse 10, "for am I now seeking the approval of man?" See, this is what it comes down to. Why do so many people change? Because they want to be liked. That's what it comes down to. They want the favor of the culture. See, Paul went right into this. He's like, listen, am I seeing the approval of man or of God? Which is it? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. You can't do both. It's either God or culture, or the culture or God. It can't be both. Our message cannot change. And this is why finishing strong necessitates an unswerving message. God only moves within the integrity of his gospel. If you lose the gospel, let's face it, then you lose God. And if you lose God, good luck. You will not finish strong. And think of Templeton and Bron Clifford, which we opened up with in our sermon. And church, let me just be so clear and honest. Holding to this message, the truthfulness, the integrity of the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ with its exclusivity, with its hard truths that are sometimes hard to hear, that directly combat and contradict our culture. This message has never been more tested in this nation. And that's why the church is being sifted. And that's why many are falling away, which is exactly what Jesus predicted would happen. Exactly. But that's why I pray the church is becoming more refined and pure. Because those who are resolved and those who are going to faithfully follow Christ, whatever cost may come, you're gonna have the real deal. You're gonna have people who are filled with a passion and a hunger and a love and a compassion and a grace, but an integrity towards the word. And they understand again, as Peter said, I say all the time again, Jesus, to whom else will we go? You hold the words of eternal life. But listen, many are folding, many are quitting, many are drifting, many are denying, many are watering. And I'm telling you, church, I'm telling you right now, in love and grace and in compassion and the strength of the Holy Spirit, it's time for us not to wander or drift. It's time for us to double down on what we know is true. It's time for us to dig deeper into God's word, to pray harder, to love greater, to have the Spirit of God fill us. It is time to do this if we're going to finish strong again, because the voices are loud and the opposition is great and the courage is essential and the message is unchanging. So therefore, we cannot change either. I've been reading personally through Psalm 119 in my devotionals again, in my reading plan in recent days. Man, how many times the psalmist is saying, basically, if I leave your word, I'm dead. Like, Lord, I love your commands. Without them, I have no life. I would be a total train wreck I'm paraphrasing, obviously. I'd be a total train wreck without your word. Just over and over and over. I'm just such a wonderful encouragement, including this morning, reading again Psalm 118, the later verses. And there he is just saying the exact same things that we're hearing today. But the time of temptation is upon us. 2 Timothy 4, Paul again speaks into this perfectly, as he knew exactly what would be happening as the Holy Spirit did through him. He says, I charge you in the presence of God. This is one of the greatest charges in the New Testament. You can't find a greater charge than this. I charge you in the presence of God, of Christ Jesus, who's just living in the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. That is such a massive statement, verse 1 there. And what follows this is preach the word. Preach the word.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We are so glad you're here. And without you, Living the Light wouldn't exist. Our passion and mission here is to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Do you want to be a part of that mission? If so, check out our website at liveinthelight.ca for ways to give or give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's all for today. Hope you can join us again next time on Live in the Light. I wanna be